Check one. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ here this night. And we do so using the service that is prepared before you, found printed within your bulletin. Special thank you to all of our musicians who are playing for us here tonight, including our organist Keith Williams, all those who are instrumentalists, and our choirs as well. You can find again the service printed within the bulletin. Our first hymn is there for us, hymn 379, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Special welcome to all of our guests and members alike. And if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to fill out an attendance card, you can find in your pews. The ushers will collect those with the offering midway through our service. We begin now with our opening hymn. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In days of old, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Through the centuries, the people of God waited for this Messiah to come to be their king.
Thank you.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." You may be seated. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what is your favorite part of the Christmas celebration? You may love the dramatic appearance of all the decorations here in your homes and around town. Hearing your treasured Christmas music sparks that joy in your heart. Who started listening before Thanksgiving? Anyone else? Oh, a couple of you. All right. That's what I thought. And perhaps you look forward most to the family gatherings or time spent with friends, maybe even those you haven't seen in quite some time. If you love to cook and to bake, then this is your time to shine. But if you have others who do those things on your behalf, then you can sit back, relax, and enjoy. Gift exchanges, white elephants, Christmas cookies and candies, reds and greens, twinkling lights, candy canes, mistletoe, all are intimately connected with our grand Christmas traditions, the celebration and its season. While so many of these are so well established as traditions that we enjoy for Christmas, rather few of them are actually connected to the true story of Christmas. That does not mean we have to be rid of them. We can continue to enjoy them, for they all are here because of that very first Christmas. Big family gatherings around food and drink, Christmas trees and presents, with songs that we hear only one month out of the year, would not exist without that first Christmas. Birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. His entry here into this world has changed so much in human history, and it continues to impact the world today, even 2,000 years later. And many who celebrate Christmas may not even know the Lord Jesus himself, and yet they enjoy the day, the festival season, because of him. And we are blessed and privileged as the people of God to gather here in this sacred space for the celebration of Christmas, Christ's coming to us as a baby born in Bethlehem. And so this is all about that day, that birth of Jesus Christ, as we have heard again in the readings from sacred scripture. God has preserved that word spoken long ago for our benefit here and now today, so that we can be gifted again and again with the grace of God in the birth of his Son. But why was it necessary? Why did God's Son have to be born here into this world, become one with us, and enter into the world of sinners, those who rejected him? A common theme we hear this time of year is that of peace. But why peace? A look around at all that goes on around us in our lives, a quick revisiting of the immediate past is all the answer that we need. Wars around the world and continuing in the Middle East, vitriol amongst politicians and other leaders, quarrels and arguments among church members. Even our own families are not immune, as we have loved ones who have been pushed away. Or perhaps we are those loved ones who have been pushed away. Peace all around would truly be great. But it cannot happen when there is selfishness, greed, jealousy, and hatred. And all of those exist because of sin. Because Adam first sinned, his descendants, all the way down through history to us, have sinned and have hurt and are corrupted because of sin. The problems that we face each and every day in our lives do not get solved with more selfishness, more greed, more jealousy, more hatred. Reconciliation and restoration of relationships only happens when there is humility, true sorrow over actions and words, and of course, sacrifice. And that is why God has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born here into this world of sinners, not into a palace or into a wealthy family and a powerful people where he could dominate the cover of all the ancient headlines. Rather, he entered into the world as the son of a humble virgin and her carpenter husband named Joseph. Christ Jesus then grew up and lived a normal life amongst a lowly people. He did grow up to fulfill the role of the long-promised anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ himself, God's chosen one. As such, Jesus then called to himself 12 disciples to bear witness to all that he did and to all that he said, and to proclaim the word of his truth. Jesus then demonstrated his power as the incarnate Word of God, the Word made flesh, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, as we will confess. He did so by healing the sick, casting out demons from the oppressed, calming storms, walking on the water, feeding thousands, even raising the dead back to life. He taught the people in their synagogues, and even in the temple in Jerusalem. And he did so as one who has true authority, not as those that were common in those days who quoted and cited from others. But he spoke as the authority. And he did all of these things to demonstrate that he is God in human flesh, true God and true man. To complete, full, perfect natures in one Lord the Christ. Both natures are, of course, truly necessary for us and for our salvation. Christ must be true man so he could be an equal substitute for us as sinners before God. But he must be God in the flesh in order to pay the price for all sin of all people, past, present, and however long the future may be. Jesus has done all of this so that we can have ultimate peace, the peace that we lack, the peace with God that we need. For God is truly and justly angered by our sin. But that anger is fully satisfied and quenched by the death of his own beloved Son. The Lord Jesus humbly sacrificed himself for us and for all people. And the cross is that place of sacrifice, the mark of God's full love for all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Christ and him crucified is the source of our forgiveness of sin, our everlasting life, and our eternal salvation, giving us true peace with God. The work of Christ upon the cross is what we find, the event that is well connected with the Christmas story. Old church traditions included the use of live Christmas trees for the decorations of their sanctuary. After then, the celebration of Christmas, the wood from that live Christmas tree would be saved, and thus would be transformed into the wood of a cross to be put up in the celebration and remembrance of Lent and of Easter, just a few short weeks after the celebration of Christmas had concluded. To remind us how the birth of Christ is connected with his death and his resurrection. Of course, at the Lord Jesus' birth, angels appeared in the heavens above to sing the glory of God for the coming of their Creator, their Lord, their Master, in mortal human flesh. Two angels, of course, were then present at the tomb of our Lord Jesus upon the day of his resurrection from the dead. The message of the angels at that first Christmas was this: for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Rightly understood from the Old Testament prophecies and the theology of God's people, the Christ as Savior would suffer and he would die for them and for all people. And of course, it was to shepherds that God sent his angels. Shepherds are caretakers of sheep and, of course, of their lambs. in Christ Jesus, is called the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world as proclaimed by John the Baptizer. It was the Lamb that was sacrificed and whose blood was then poured out upon the door frames of the houses in Egypt where God's people dwelled, so that they could be preserved from death that was coming upon the Egyptians. Jesus, as the Passover Lamb, offers himself upon the cross, his blood shed and poured out for the forgiveness of all sins, keeping us safe from the eternal death owed for our sin before God. And of course, Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares for his sheep. He cares for you. And he cares for all people, his beloved ones. And he desires for all to believe, all to be a part of his sacred flock, to gladly hear his voice and to follow wherever he would lead. And why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear, for sinners hear the silent word is pleading. Nails, spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. Nails and spear have pierced through the flesh of the Lord Jesus. And because of that, because of Jesus, there is true peace with God. Because of Jesus, you can have joy within, even though everything else is going wrong without. Because of Jesus, there is hope. Hope for the perfect life that is still to come. Because of Jesus, you are fully forgiven of all of your sins by his death upon the cross. For Jesus is the love of God incarnate for you. And through faith in Jesus granted to you in the waters of holy baptism and strengthened within you through the supper of our Lord, you too are saved. And you have the peace that only Jesus can give. God grant you a most blessed Christmas celebration, the celebration of Christ's coming to you as God's greatest gift. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, God's greatest gift to life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We're seated once more as the tithes and offerings are collected. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, By the incarnation of your eternal Son, you revealed that you are love. Give us true faith in Christ and his promise that by his conception, virgin birth, holy life, sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection, our sins are forgiven and we are yours. Increase our love for one another, for as you abide in us, we abide in you, and your love is perfected in us. Fill us with joy and lead us to proclaim your glad tidings to all people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, by his birth in human flesh, your dear Son took his place in the family of Mary and Joseph. Bless the families of our church and our country, that men and women would live faithfully as husbands and wives, loving and caring for their children and nurturing them in the grace of baptism and all the truth of your word. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, by your gracious provision, you created your church to be your family, where, nurtured by your word and sacraments, all of us may find a home filled with sisters and brothers to care for us, love us, and increase our joy. Make of us a refuge for the weary, a family for the lonely, a safe place for those who are afraid, and a help to one another in all our burdens. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, guide and defend the President, Congress, and all who administer and judge our laws. Change the hearts of those who would lead us away from your justice and truth. Preserve in this land the freedom to serve you, and lead us to be faithful citizens. Lord, in your mercy. Father, in love you declared us to be yours and promised to hear our prayers. Protect then the police, fire personnel, and all other emergency workers whose duty and service to us have called them away from their loved ones this night. Keep safe all who are traveling during this holiday time. Relieve the sufferings of your people and heal their diseases according to your mercy, especially those we name now before you in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.